Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, if you went to the beach over the Memorial Day weekend, you probably saw some of the sea turtle nesting areas that have been cordoned off for protection. Nesting season started in March. It ends in October, and a majority of the nests are found a little further north in our area up in the Palm Beach County area. All sea turtles are on the endangered species list, and they are protected by U.S. law. Michael Heidhouse is a marine biologist. He's been involved with sea turtle research since 1997. He's also the dean of the College of Arts, Science, and Education at Florida International University. Michael, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, I want to know from you, when did you get interested in sea turtles?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in ocean life. I mean, my mom would say it happened when I first caught a fish in my diaper when I was 1.5.
Stop.
It was all over after that. But, you know, growing up watching Jacques Cousteau and coming to the beach in Florida, even though I grew up in Ohio, I always wanted to be a marine biologist. But my interest in sea turtles actually came from my interest in sharks. And so I was working in Western Australia on tiger sharks, one of the last places you can go to see big tiger sharks really frequently, and started to wonder how important they were in ocean ecosystems. And one of those key links is sea turtles. And, you know, once you start working on turtles, you might think they'd be boring, but they are actually super cool. And so we've started a whole research program on sea turtles as well.
And they're also adorable.
They are.
Okay, so, you know, just to say that. What's the first time you actually got to work with sea turtles, though?
Well, back in 97, the first time I got to work with sea turtles was rescuing some from a salt mine. And so a salt company was putting up a berm, and they were going to evaporate the ocean behind it. And we had to rescue the sea life there. And we were actually there first to get the dolphins out. We had to get every dolphin out. And then we spent a few days catching as many sea turtles as we could and transporting them over. So a group of the local fishermen and Aboriginal corporation taught me how to catch sea turtles. And we started studying these sea turtles on their foraging grounds. And most of what we know about sea turtles is when they come up on the beach to nest. But they spend about as much time on the beach nesting as you spend with your hairdresser. So it's a tiny little piece of their year or their entire life. And we didn't know hardly anything about the rest of their lives. So we started catching them at sea, putting cameras on their backs, tagging them, and learning more about what they were doing for most of their lives.
I hate to tell you, I don't spend a lot of time with that person anyway.
Neither do I.
Let's talk about, you know, because I mentioned the sea turtles are protected, but I've been reading that over the years, their populations are bouncing back.
Yeah, it's a great conservation success story in a lot of places in the world. Not everywhere, but as we've created things like turtle excluder devices so they don't get caught in fishermen's nets, fishermen can catch their shrimp or their fish, turtles escape, as we've stopped egg poaching on the beaches, and then created programs like we have in Miami-Dade, Broward, and throughout Florida, where we're monitoring the nests, protecting the nests, changing the lighting on the beach so the hatchlings don't get disoriented. That started to cause these populations to rebound. And so now they're still threatened, but sea turtles are, you know, taking a step back from the brink of extinction.
Let's come back to something you just said. When we talk about fishermen's nets, how does that work?
Well, basically what you have in the net is a device that the fish go through it, but the turtles hit a gate and then they get pushed out through a hole in the net. So the shrimp or the fish kind of go through it into the bag of the net and the turtles get knocked out the side. And so, they can hold their breath a long time. And so being through the net doesn't cause them really any worse for the wear.
So as the populations are bouncing back, do you see a day when they're no longer need to have them on a protection list?
Well, I certainly hope we see that day where we don't need to have them on the protection lists. And in some places, they're getting there. But you have to remain vigilant because development of coasts, we also have problems on the horizon for these sea turtles. One of the ways you determine a turtle determines whether it's male or female is what the temperature is in the nest when the egg is incubating. If it gets above 29 degrees C, they become more female. And there's beaches in Australia where now 99% of the eggs that hatch are females. And so will turtles adapt or will that evolve through time to keep up with rising temperatures?
So it sounds like, I mean, climate change is playing a role.
Climate change is absolutely playing a role. Sea level rise can play a role because if those nests get washed out with hurricanes or just rising sea levels, or if beaches are smaller where they can't lay their eggs, that's a really existential threat to their population survival.
I wonder, you know, how are their numbers coming back when you think about, for example, in Florida especially? I mean, you know, it's a state that's constantly developing, so it's more and more people, right? But we have to share. We all, humans, have to share that beach with those turtles. You know, what is it that we're doing right? Because I want to applaud and say we're doing something right.
Well, you know, the counties have their sea turtle programs, and they're doing an excellent job of patrolling the beaches. They identify the nests, and they mark them out so people know not to go in those areas. And, you know, in some cases, they're putting protections on those nests so that the hatchlings can only go the right way. And if they're going the wrong way toward the lights or toward the roads, they get collected and then they get released later. And so we're having to take more active management. But I think one of the neat things is, say, take Broward County. They used to basically collect all the nests or most of the nests and then, you know, move them somewhere else and then re-release them. But the hatchlings do better if they're left where they were laid. So now they're being less intrusive and have figured out ways that most of the turtles can hatch naturally and be protected. And I think a better educated population knows to have the right, you know, those low-level LEDs that are red or orange to not mess with the turtles because they might not nest if you disturb them at night. And so that education plus active intervention has done a really good job of protecting the sea turtles we have here in South Florida.
Do we know if the issues that we've been facing here in Florida with the red tide and the blue-green algae, has that played a role in any way? Has that impacted them?
Well, it can impact them because when you have these, especially the red tide blooms, those toxins can kill sea turtles. And we think about the beaches and the nesting, but Florida is amazing foraging habitat for a lot of sea turtles. So loggerhead turtles are the most common on the beaches, but offshore we have loggerheads, we have green turtles, and we have the critically endangered globally hawksbill turtle. And because those animals tend to stay in coastal waters when they're foraging, if you have a red tide, those toxins can kill them and have a big negative impact.
Which ones do we see most here in South Florida?
On the beaches, it's 90% loggerhead turtles. And so these are cool turtles. They've got big, huge heads that are built for crushing shellfish like crabs and clams. Occasionally, you'll see about 10% of the nests are green turtles, which they're kind of like the cows of the ocean. They tend to eat seagrasses, although when we put cameras on them in Australia, we found they like spicy food too. Jellyfish, you know, I don't know, maybe it tingles a little bit, but yeah, you know, so a little bit of seagrass, a little bit of jellyfish, maybe a sponge.
Wasn't there a rare turtle that nested recently in Palm Beach County?
Yes, so a leatherback came up, and leatherback turtles are gigantic. I think the biggest one ever measured is 2,000 pounds. They're only about 1% of the nests in Florida. But these are animals that tend to be way offshore in deeper waters. They dive deep and they eat jellyfish. They have these cool spines in their throats that are point backwards, so those slippery jellyfish can't come up. It keeps them down. So amazing animals, and it's just wonderful that we still have those nesting on our beaches here in Florida.
I'm talking with Dr. Michael Heithaus. He's a marine biologist and dean at the College of Arts, Science, and Education of Florida at Florida International University. We're talking about sea turtle nesting season. It's going on right now in South Florida. Again, the majority of the nests, tend to occur a little more further north in our listening area, up in that Palm Beach County area, moving up along the East Coast. Nesting season, again, began March. It runs through October. One of the things that you focus on, and you mentioned just a second ago, is about predators. And some of the research you've done is about predators for the turtles, which is sharks, right?
Yep.
Mostly sharks. So we've seen turtle populations go up. Shark populations are hurting.
Yeah, shark populations globally are in really big trouble. Some populations are probably down 90 to 99%. And, you know, those that are still hanging on, we probably have fewer of the big animals that are really the top predators. And when you think about sharks, there are more than 500 different species, and there are just a few that are really big predators like tiger sharks, bull sharks, white sharks. And the tiger sharks are actually really built for eating big prey like sea turtles. They have big, broad mouths. They have curved teeth with serrations like a steak knife. So they can actually bite onto a turtle, shake their head, and cut right through that turtle shell. So a major thing for a turtle to be worried about. And when you're an animal that takes 20 to 25 years to mature and may live 50 years or more, we still don't know how long sea turtles live, you're going to do everything you can to avoid becoming a meal for a shark. And so they'll completely change their behavior to avoid sharks in some areas.
So, I mean, you would think that's a good thing for turtles if they're less predators, but it's the food chain. The food chain gets, you know, in any way altered, that impacts so many other things. Right?
Yeah. And unfortunately, we tend to think get rid of predators, the world is safer. That's a good thing. But wherever you go on land, in the ocean, when you remove big predators, bad things tend to happen. So you get rid of wolves, deer populations can explode. They can eat themselves out of house and home. And we have evidence that that may be happening in the oceans. So in areas where turtle populations are really exploding and shark populations have been really degraded a lot, you can have these turtles virtually eat out all the seagrass. So in Bermuda, there used to be a lot of seagrass, and now some researchers from FIU think they may have seen the last bites of seagrass basically disappear. And that's because the turtle populations have exploded. So that balance is really critical. And where we work in Western Australia, we have huge turtle populations, but we also have really big shark populations. And that means that there are pockets where the turtles don't go because it's too dangerous. And that's where you get the seagrass surviving. And that's really important to people because seagrass is where those baby fish, the baby shrimp, the baby crabs grow up that go on to be caught. So, you know, having sharks and sea turtles in the right balance is important because you lose sea turtles and you might have the vegetation overgrow and get unhealthy. So you really, you need to be conserving both.
Every link in the food chain has to be strong. I wanted to come back to the other thing too, you said too, about the fact that because of rising temperatures, we're seeing more of the hatchlings are female now.
Yep.
Okay. So how does that impact population? What happens then?
Well, over longer time periods, if that holds up, how are the females going to mate and produce baby turtles? One male can mate with many females, but at some level, if you're talking 99% or more females, that's a really big skew difference. And so you could see, you know, nesting success go way down, the number of eggs produced go down, and eventually populations could go extinct. Now, temperatures have changed in the past, and sea turtles have been around for millions and millions and millions of years through big changes in temperature, but those temperature changes happened very slowly in the past, relatively speaking. And so there's time to adapt. And now the question is the rate of change too much for these turtle populations to make it?
Let's remind people too, this is one of the fascinating things about sea turtles is, so, you know, the turtle will come in, lay the nest, leave, and then when those eggs finally hatch, then all these turtles make their you know, sprint to the ocean, and most don't make it, or a lot don't make it, right? How many hatch, how many make it?
Each turtle that comes in will, each female will lay around 100 eggs, maybe 100 to 120 eggs, may lay 4 different nests a year. So, you know, maybe that's 400 to 500 eggs. In natural nests, a lot of those will hatch and make it to the surface, but then the gauntlet begins. Because if you are a little turtle, every crab, every bird, every snapper, every little shark, everything wants to eat you. And so it is a race for survival to get to the water, but then it's still a gauntlet as you go into the water. And so what these turtles do is they try to sprint out. They hatch in mass, so it kind of swamps out the predators. There are too many little turtles going for the predators.
Yeah, but
to
that's
get
also
all.
Like a buffet, too, for predators.
It's both, but if you're out there alone, you know, seagulls are pretty good at finding things. So then they swim out to sea, and they will find these rafts of the sargassum algae. And some recent work that's been done show that these turtles will stay in that surface water in the algae, and it actually creates a warmer layer of water. And so they get pushed around by the current, but they do kind of move into these warmer pockets of water, which may help them grow faster. And they basically go on a trip around the North Atlantic Ocean to the Azores off Portugal. And maybe after a few years, they get here, and then they're big enough to not be eaten by everything. Still, sharks are a problem, but then they can start to grow. And, you know, after 20, 25 years, you might find them nesting very close to the beaches where they hatched.
I can't let you go without asking, because some of the research you've done sounds so cool. You put cameras on the turtles, right? Like GoPros.
Yep. We use custom-built cameras that have as long a battery life as we can. You know, those camera systems that used to cost $17,000 now cost $40 on Amazon. They still need better batteries. But yeah, it is amazing what happens when the animal gets to run the camera. And when we first put these cameras on, we thought turtles were going to be super boring. and sharks would be super exciting. It was the opposite. Sharks just swim and swim, and the turtles are very social. We found green turtles go find sponges to rub their heads and their bodies, you know, get a little loofah scratch there, clean themselves off. They'll get into fights over whose sponge that is. We saw a 30-minute long staring contest, after which one freaked out and swam away. And I mean, just, you have no idea what's going on. You know, we see sea turtle battles, which happen very slowly, but just really amazing things. And we learned things like that these green turtles are eating jellyfish that we never really would have thought happened. And so we get amazingly important scientific information and, you know, I have to admit, some fairly entertaining video as well.
How is this not a reality series on Netflix by now? What?
Well, you know, Ned, we're waiting for the call.
Okay. That sounds, I didn't realize that. That sounds so fascinating. Again, we've been talking with Dr. Michael Heithouse, marine biologist and dean at the College of Arts, Science, and Education at Florida Atlantic University.
International.
At Florida International University.
Sorry.
I almost...
Great colleagues at FAU.
My mistake. Thank you. By the way, just real quickly before I let you go, is remind people too, again, you see these nests, things that people can do. Just real quickly.
Really quickly. If you see the nest, don't mess with them. If you see hatchlings, let them be. If it looks like they're going the wrong way, call your local sea turtle conservation hotline and they'll come help them. But minimize disturbance. Watch them from a distance and enjoy.
Just enjoy. If anything, too, maybe one day he'll put those videos up online. We could just watch that because that sounds like fun.
We have a couple we'll put up for you.
Thank you so much. From Florida International University, Dr. Michael Heithouse, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And again, it is season. It is the season. So just think about that. We've been doing a good job. That's why their populations are coming back.